Okay, we're beginning here, 5-6 lines down on Gimel and Aleph by the two dots. With the Amar, the Gemara is going back to something that we mentioned yesterday, which is Muktasheu Bdei Kuchavim Lo Nehenin Velo Moalim. When it comes to the Agdesh and Loi Kuchavim, you may not get Hana from them Velo Moalim, but there's no din of Mi'ila Amina Torah Lo Nehenin Midrabanan. That means Lo Nehenin means that it's a din Derabanan that you may not get Hana Velo Moalim Midoraita. There's no din Doraita Mi'ila. Discussed this yesterday, that the lo ne'anin v'lo ma'alin in general, when it's found in the Mishnah, is an indication of a din dirabanan. So my time, why is this true that there is no mi'ila with the gabei kochim and ovdei kochavim? Dichtiv, because it says, nefesh ki tum'o ma'al v'chata bishgaga, v'yafinan chet, chet mitruma. We learn out, egzera shava v'chata'a by mi'ila, to the chet that is found by truma, umutruma k'ti b'nei Yisrael v'lo ovdei kochavim. And by Chuma, the chiyuv of Chuma and the problems with Chuma revolve around Bnei Yisrael, v'lo ovdei kochavim. So since Chuma is unique and qualified only for Bnei Yisrael, the Gzeirah Shavah will teach us the same thing by Mi'ilah. The din of Mi'ilah is only applicable to Bnei Yisrael, not applicable to Novi Kochavim. Ve'in chayavilim aleihem mishum pigol notar v'tamei. The next thing we said was that when it comes to the kodshim of the ovdei kochavim, there is no din of pigol notar v'tamei. Dichti ba bituma. Because written by Tuma, the Berla Aron Veil Banav, by Parshat Emor, and Parshat Bet, and Parshat Emor, Parshat begins when it discusses about Tuma. It says, the Berla Aron Veil Banav, Yinazumi Kodshe, Benitzobel Achulet Shem Kodshe, Yashahim Makdishim Le'ani Hashem. And then it says that you must not have anything with Tuma in it. So the Parshat of Tuma is headed by Mikodshe B'nai Yisrael. So that's limited. Tuma is limited to B'nai Yisrael. So that'll take care of the Tuma part of it. Ve'alif notar, chilul chilul mituma. And then we'll have Gzera Sheva Lo Yichalulu over here, to the Chilul by Notar, that is mentioned by Notar, Dichtiv Gabe Tumah Bnei Yisrael Velo Yichalulu, that's in our Pasuk right here, Pasuk Bet and Vayikruch of Bet, Uchtiv Gabe Notar Ve'ochlav Avono Isa, then it comes in Parshat Kiddushim, when it discusses the issue of Pigul, and Notar, it says over there, Ve'ochlav Avono Isa, Kiyad Kodesh Hashem Chilel. So Notar, we're going to learn out a Chilul, Chilul Gzera Sheva from Tumah, just like Tumah is qualified, limited to Bnei Yisrael or Kodshei Bnei Yisrael. So too, the same will be true when it comes to the din of Notar. Ve'alif pigul avon, avon mi Notar. And we'll learn how pigul from Notar, that the gzera shava of avon, avon. Dichtiv gabi pigul, it says in pigul, in parsha tzav, nefesh ochelet mimenu avonatisa, the one who eats from the shlamim that had a problem of pigul avonotisa. Dichtiv gabi Notar, in parsha k'toshim, v'ochlav avonau isa. So there, avon avon, we'll have gzera shava. So we'll start out with Tuma. Tuma has a qualifier of Bnei Yisrael. We'll have gzera shava from Tuma to Notar, which is found in Parshat Kedoshim. We'll do that through a gzera shava of Chilul Chilul. And once we know that din by the Gabei Notar, we'll have another gzera shava from Notar back to Pigul of avon avon to teach him, just like the din by Tuma, which is applied to Notar, will also be applied to Pigul. And all three of them will have this qualification that only Kodshei Bnei Yisrael do these dinim apply by, do not apply by the Kodshim of Dei Kochavim. Ulo Bnei Yisrael v'lo of Dei Kochavim. Be'en osim t'mura. The Ovei Kochavim is unable to make t'mura. Dichtiv. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto. Uchtiv erei she'inyan. And the parsha begins before it says lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto. Daber al Bnei Yisrael ish ki yafli neder ber kocha. That's the beginning of the parsha of Arachin. Arachin precedes the parsha that talks about t'mura. And therefore, the header of this whole section in Perachav Zayin in Vayikra is Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael, yes, the Ovei Kochavim, no. And therefore we'll apply that to the din of Yahu Tumurato Yekodesh. Lishnach Rina, another way to have this read is Enosim Tumura Mai Taima, Didkish Tumurat Beima, the Maser Beima. Because the Inyan of Tumura is also found in Maser Beima. We mentioned this in our introduction to the Masechta, that the Inyan of Tumura appears twice in Perachav Zayin. It appears once by itself as a standalone issue of Tumura, that one may not perform Tumura, which is in Berachav Zayin Pasuk Yod, Lo Yachlifenu V'Lamir Oto Tov Bira Ura B'Tov V'Mamir Yamir Be'ma B'Me'ma V'Yahu U'Tumurato Yekodesh. And then we brought the additional manifestation of it by Meiser Be'ma at the end of that Perek, which is V'Chol Masar Bakar V'Tzon Kol Asher Yavor Tachad HaShavet Ha'Yisriye Yeh Kodesh L'Hashem Lo Yivaker Ben Tov Dora V'Lo Yimirenu V'Mamir Yimirenu V'Yahu U'Tumurato Yekodesh Lo Yigael. So you see that by Meiser Be'ma, there's an additional issue of Ayahu Tumurato Yekodesh. So Tumura has a hekesh to Meiser Be'ma, because both of them say, V'lo Yamir Oto, and Vayahu Tumurato Yekodesh. And Maser Be'ma has a hekesh to Meiser Dagan. And then Meiser Be'ma has a hekesh with Meiser Dagan, which we've seen in the past. Begabi Meiser Dagan Div, Kiet Masir Bnei Israel Shirimu LaHashem. So Bnei Israel, yes, Lov Dechavim, not. So just like by Masir Dagan, when we're talking about produce in Masir, that's only a din by Bnei Israel, not a din by Novid Kochavim, so too by Maaser Behemah, that same will be true. And Maaser Behemah contains within it the issue of the parsha of Tmura. And so since we have that din by Maaser Behemah, we'll also have that application by Tmura. So one of two ways to know that Tmura does not apply by Novid Kochavim, either because it's subsumed in a parsha, a perek that begins with the Daber al Bnei Israel, and since that's the header of that whole perek, therefore it's Bnei Israel below in Kochavim. The other possibility is because of the hekesh between Tmura and Maaser Behemah. And by Maaser Behemah, we learn out of Maaser Dagan that's limited to Bnei Israel, not Ovdei Kochavim. Now we continue with what we had said before. Ve'ein mevin nisachim. They're not allowed to bring nisachim. Aval karbanot on nisachim divi Rabbi Shimon. They don't bring nisachim, but their korban does require nisachim. Minahani milay. How do we know this is true? The Tanur Banan Ezrach. It says in Parshat Shlach, when it speaks about the nisachim and the chiyuv nisachim, it says there Ezrach. Ezrach mevin nisachim ve'ein ovid kochavim mevin nisachim. It limits the bringer of Nisachim to an Ezrach, the one who is a citizen, the one who it belongs to, Bnei Yisrael. Yachalotei alototun ha-Nisachim, so I think maybe he's excluded from the parsha Nisachim completely. Tamalomar kacha, over there in the pasuk says kacha, and therefore that's a riboy. So we have a miut of Ezrach, we have a riboy of kacha. So we are a merabed that his korban requires Nisachim. We are memayit that he does not have the ability to bring Nisachim as a standalone korban. Samar Abiyose, Rane Abi Kulam Nachmir. Biosi disagrees and says, I am Machmir. With regards to the issue of Pigol Notar and Tamei, he says that I think that Ovi Kochavim's Kodesh has that problem, as well as the Din of Mi'ilah. My time, huh? What's the reason? It says, Lashem Tiv. Pasuk says, Lashem, that the Pasuk from which we know that Ovi Kochavim can bring a Korban is from Ish, Ish, Mi Bnei Yisrael, Sheyakrivu Korbano Lashem. And that Pasuk, we said, that's what teaches the Ish, Ish, teaches us that an Ovi Kochavim is allowed to be Noder, Nodev, Ki Yisrael. And the other pasuk says Lashem, because it says Ashir Krivu LaHashem, so that they get a full status of Korbanot LaHashem. So the fact that they're included from the pasuk of Ish Ish, and their Korban is brought, but it's brought LaHashem, it's brought as a full-fledged Korban, as a Kedusha, like any other Korban. And if it has Kedusha, like any other Korban, it'll be Chayav and Me'ilah, and also have a Chiyuv, a Pigo, Notar, and Tamei. So now the Gemara continues dissecting that, right? My time. How come this is true by Kochim Izbeach? But Bekochek Berek Abai, we say they are Moel. There is Mi'ilah for them. Ki Gamrina Mi'ilah Chet Chet Mi Truma. When we learn out Mi'ilah, we learn it out from Truma. We had that Gzer Shavu we saw before of Chet Chet. Just like Truma was limited to Bnei Israel, so too Mi'ilah was limited to Bnei Israel. Dumiya Tru Truma. But the Hekesh, or the Gzer Shavu that we're drawing over here, has to be something that's similar to Truma. The Kadosh Kedusha Duguf. Truma is something that has inherent Kedusha to it. So just like there it's inherent Kedusha, so too the Mi'ilah in Parsha Mi'ilah will only reference things that have inherent Kedusha to them. Abu Kedusha Berek Abayit. Kedusha Mim Damim, lo. They're not excluded from the Gzer Shav of Chet Chet, because they're not like Truma. Since they're not like Truma, they don't have Kedusha Taguf, therefore they will not be excluded from Bnei Yisrael, although Ovdei Kochavim, that's learned out from Parsha of Truma. I'm reviewed Amarav. That was the end of going back to that Braita and understanding that Braita. Now we're going to move back to a fundamental question about the problem of Tmura, is how do you get Malkot? Tmura is something that's a lav she'en bo maseh. It's a lav that has no action associated with it. And we know there's a qualification in the Torah that a lav needs to have a maaseh in order for you to get Malkot. So I'm reviewed Amarav. Ko lo tasesh b'torah asaba maseh chayav. If you take action, you're chayav. Lo asaba maseh. If your violation of the lav is either from inaction, or it comes through doing something that doesn't involve action, including speaking, over there, patur, you don't get malkot. The Gemara says, v'klololo, is that really a general principle? Can you really make such a principle? The lav shein bo maaseh patur, anytime you have a lav that has no action, it's patur. Vabe meimar, our case here of tmura, the lav shein bo maaseh, it's a lav shein bo maaseh, v'lokin, you get malkot. It's not, our Mishnah says, lo shiu rashai la'amir, not that you are permitted to do tmura, elo shein heimir mumar, it works, you're successful at creating tmura, v'sofeg et arbaim, and you get malkot. So melcho rav, hamani Rabbi Yehuda, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, damar lav shein bo maaseh lokin olav. There is a Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees and says that when it comes to lav shein bo maaseh, you do get malkot, so he'll be the author of our Mishnah. He says, umi matzid mukot matitik Rabbi Yehuda. How can you set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? We just had on the first daf. We ask that the hakol in the Mishnah is latuye mai, the latuye yoresh somech, and yoresh is meimar. That a yoresh is able to do tmura, and a yoresh is able to do somech. Shalok Rabbi Yehuda. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Vaukim to the reish of the lok Rabbi Yehuda. You already explained that our Mishnahs can't be altered by Rabbi Yehuda. Tani hakol meimirim, hakol latuye mai, latuye yoresh. Come to exclude a yoresh that he is meimar. Udulok Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, this Tana has a split. Hi, Tana, savor lak avetei bechado. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the din of lav shein bo maaseh that you get malkot. The love shame b'maser looking alav upolig alei bechadei disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda's other position, which is the other Rabbi Yehuda sever yoreish eno sumech yoreish eno memir. But Tana didan, our Tana believes that sever yoreish sumech yoreish memir. So he holds Rabbi Yehuda's position in one case and not in the other case. But the reason that it's a love shame b'maser that you're getting malkot is premised on this position of Rabbi Yehuda that even a love shame b'maser can get malkot. So that doesn't undermine my principle that I laid out here. I'm laying out my principle based on the Rabbanan or against that position of Rabbi Yehuda.
Tosafot points out that we have other times in the Torah where we have things that are lav shem b'maser and we get malkot, and yet the Gemara doesn't challenge from that and doesn't speak about them at all. For instance, like motzi shemra. But Tosafot says that the Gemara is only dealing with situations in which there's a lav, but there's not explicit malkot. But in cases where the Torah explicitly says that there is malkot in the face of lav shem b'maser, there we have no questions because that's already explicit in the Torah.
Amar Rav Yidi bar Avin, Amar Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishom Rav Yosi Agilili, Kolota. You do a maisa, you get malkot. Lo asabu maser patur. So that's the same statement we had before from Rabbi Yehuda Marab, but now we have exceptions. Chutz. Here are the exceptions to the rules. Nishba. Someone takes a shvua. Meimar tmura, which is our case over here. Umikalelo chaveiro b'shem. Someone who curses their friend using the shem Hashem. Afo bish lo asa maase. Even though in these three cases there is no action, despite that fact, chayav. Mishum Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina amru afa makdim truma lebikurim. In addition to that, there's another lav, which is someone who separates out truma before bikurim. There's a hierarchy, there's an order in which you have to take off the matnot from your produce. Bikurim come first, then truma, then maaser rishon. That order is binding, and binding to the point that he says here that if you don't do it, you will get malkot from the pasuk that's found in the parsha that we just read today, which is parshat nishpatim. Bayatcha, v'dimatcha, lo te'acher. And we'll get to that in tomorrow's daf. Nishba minolan. So now Gemara wants to know, how do you know this is true? These three exceptions to the rule, where do you know them from? Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir Amakro. Pasuk says, Kilo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisai shmo lashav. Shem will not cleanse or let go anyone who uses his name in vain. Beitin shamalo. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yinakeh. He is not minakeh. Ein minakinoto. They do not cleanse him. They do not punish him to the point where he can be cleansed from the avon. Aval beitin shamata malkinoto minakinoto. But the Beit Din Shamata is not bound by that restriction, and they can give punishment in order to rectify what he's done, in order to be mechaper of what he's done. Why do you have to say Asher lo yinakeh? Why don't you say that means he has no possibility of removing this Avera? Both Beit Din Shamala and Beit Din Shamata. The pasuk just should have said lo yinakeh, period. Why does it lishtok? Why then not continue onward? But why does the pasuk say lo yinakeh Hashem? Why is the lo yinakeh modified by Hashem? But that's to teach you. Beit Shemalu de minakinoto, but Beit Shematam malkinoto uminakinoto. So Ashkelon Shvuat Shav. That's talking about a Shvuat Shav. That's saying Hashem's name in vain. Lo yisai et shem Hashem lashav, because lo yinkei Hashem et asher yisai shemo lashav. So they have the word Shav is used, and that's a Shvuat Shav. A Shvuat Shav is a Shvua that is untrue from the moment you say it. It's clearly untrue from the moment that you say it. It's an unnecessary, unfulfillable Shvua from the moment that it's taken. That's called a Shvuat Shav. Shvuat Sheker is someone who lies about something. They lie about something that has to have a certain amount of discernment about it, a certain amount of understanding about it. They can tell you information, but it's not information that you must know. Since you don't know it, that's called lying, because they are using the Shvuat through a lie. As opposed to a case where it takes a Shvuat, that this is gold when it's wood. And you can see clearly that the two are that way. I don't need to do any more investigating to find out whether he's lying or not about it. So I understand from the pasuk that you quoted, I understand why you get malkot when it comes to a shvuat shav, because there it says, Lo'in ka'ashem et asei shmo lashav. But how do we know about shvuat sheker? How do we know there also you get malkot milalan? Yochanan de amar, lisal shav shnei pa'amim. It says there in the pasuk, shav twice. Meinolini and shvuat shav, why do I have to mention shav twice? We already know you're talking about a shvuat shav. So why do I mention it twice? Deolini and shvuat sheker. It must be that since we don't need it for shvuat shav again in the pasuk, therefore we'll take it and use it towards shvuat sheker that it gets malkot. Because it says lo tisa et shem Hashem lashav, and then it says ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher isa et shemo lashav. So of course we know that's already lashav. We already prefaced that in the first pasuk. So why do I need shav twice? So one shav is unnecessary. That shav will utilize towards a shvuat sheker. That the fact that you get malkot by a shvuat sheker. So matkiv la rabbi bo shvuat sheker echidami. What's the case of shvuat sheker here that you're going to get malkot for? Inemar damar, if he says shelo ochel ve'achal, if he says that I'm not going to eat, and then he goes in and eats, hatamu ma'ase avot. There he does an action. He takes a shvuat and will not eat, and then he actively eats. That's a ma'ase. A ma'ase, of course, gets malkot. Elo damar she'ochel ve'lo ochal. Case where he says, I will eat in the future, and then ve'lo achal, he's inactive, meaning he does not eat, he does not fulfill the Shvuah, and through that inaction he's in violation of the Shvuah, how miloki? Everybody agrees here, you're not going to get Malkot. In a case where you say you must do something, and you don't end up doing it, you won't get Malkot. Vayitmar, we've seen this before, Shvuah shokhal kikar zeh ayom, case of Shvuah that he will eat this loaf of bread today, vavar yom velo achal, the day passes, he doesn't eat it, they both say you don't get Malkot. For different reasons, but they both say you don't get Malkot. Therefore you don't get Malkot. That it's a tratzafek. You can never warn the guy to say you must eat it. Because anytime you say to eat it, he has more time left in the day. He still has time to eat it. He's not in violation to the lav until after the day is completely transpired, and until the day has passed. So therefore, every time you warn him, he still has time left. Now, it could be at the last moment, the last second of the day, if you warn him, if you get exactly right, maybe you can get that case where you can get a hatrat vadai. But otherwise, it's really built on hatrat safek. Chol hatrat safek and looking alav. So you see, whether it's a biyokon reish lakish, everybody agrees there, you don't get makot. So that can't be the case we're talking about shvuat sheker. Ella amrei bo, tehei b'achalti v'lo achalti. We're talking about in the past tense, where he says, I ate or I didn't eat. So I ate or I didn't eat. From the moment he takes the shvuah, that's a shvuat sheker at that moment, because either he did eat or he didn't eat. So if he ate and he says I didn't eat, he took the shvuat sheker now. If he says achalte, I did eat, and he didn't eat, then he's in violation of the shvuah as soon as he takes the shvuah. So Mar says, umay shnad kamar rabbe achalte velo achalte mochel velo achal. Why is there more reason to believe by a case of shvuah vavar in the past tense to say there you get malkot? When it comes from Ochel, when it says, I will eat in the future, and he doesn't eat, we call that a lav shein bo maaseh. That's what Rav Yochanan says. So why do we call that a lav shein bo maaseh? And Achalti and Lo Achalti is considered to be a lav sheyesh bo maaseh, quote unquote. So Rava, Beferi Shripta Torah, Sheker, Dom El Shav. Because the Torah included Sheker, it made it equivalent to Shav. Mas Shav l'sheavar, av Sheker l'sheavar. Because Shav, the problem is immediate. The Shvuah is classified as a Shvuah Shav immediately. Because the moment he takes it, we know the information, all the information is in front of us, and Shvuah Shav immediately. So too by Shvuah Sheker. Yes, there are multiple manifestations of a Shvuah Sheker. Shvuah Sheker can be in the past. Shvuah Sheker can be in the future. But if you're going to compare a Shvuah Sheker to a Shvuah Shav, because you derive Shvuah Sheker from Shav, over there we're going to say that the Shvuah Sheker has to look like a Shav. That means that the moment you take the Shvuah, you're in violation. That only happens when you take past tense Shvuot, not when you take future tense Shvuot. So hey, Tvei Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the Rabbi Bo, Shvuah Shelo Achel Kikar Zu. Shvuah shaloach lena, shvuah shaloach lena. If he says shvuah that I will not eat this kikar, then shvuah shaloach lena, shvuah shaloach lena, v'achla. And then he eats it, ain't no chayav alachat. You only chayav one. Because you can't, ain't shvuah chal al shvuah. And this is the classification, this is a classic classification of Shvuat Bitui, of Shvuat Sheker. Here's a case where you bring, on its Zadon you'll get Makot, and on Shogay you'll get a Korban Olevi Orei. And here we're talking about a future tense shvuash, and then he gets malkot. So zoi lemutei mai. What is this coming to exclude? Lav lemutei achalti velo achalti. Isn't it coming to exclude achalti velo achalti? That there you do not get malkot. To lo loki. Lo. Zoi hi da'al shigigata mighty korban. Now in this, you bring for shogeg, you bring a korban when it's a shvuat bitui about the future. Aval achalti velo achalti lo mighty korban. On the past tense, when you take shvuat in the past tense, even though it's a shogeg, there you do not bring a korban. Umani, and who's the author of that position? Rabbi Shmoi. Tamarinu chayav el alatid lavo. You only chayav korbanot on the future. Aval milke aloki. When it comes to the past, you will get malkot. So you'll get malkot on achalti below achalti, as well as on lo ochel, and you went ahead and you were ochel when you took action. Same as seifa. So then we're going to do the seifa of that Mishnah. Zoi shvuat shav, shechayavin al zdono makot v'shigigata patur. Then they give an example of a shvuat shav, and on that they say, this is the shvuat shav, from which you get a chiyuv, zdono, you get makot. If you do it on purpose, intentionally, you get makot. If you do it b'shogeg, you don't have to bring a korban. Zoi lemutei mai. Where does that come to exclude? Lav lemutei achalti velo achalti. What must come to exclude the case of achalti velo achalti, the past tense shvuat sheker, dolo lucky that they won't get makot. Because over here, the shvuat shav only gets makot. He doesn't get a korban at all. So if he's coming to exclude it, it must be that he's coming to exclude them from the dinner parsha of makot. Where it says lo. Zoi da shigata patur mi korban. Aval lo achalti velo achalti mighty korban. Now it's coming to exclude them from the second half of the statement. On a shvuat shav, you do not bring a korban b'shogeg. Achalti v'lo achalti, you do bring a korban b'shogeg. Umani, who's the author of that position? Rabbi Akiva, damar mevin korban l'shavar. He says you bring a korban, even on the past tense and future tense, you will bring a korban. Where it says, v'amar et reisha Rabbi Shmuel. You said that the reisha was Rabbi Shmuel. Out of a sefer Rabbi Akiva, reisha nami Rabbi Akiva. So if you're going to make the sefer Rabbi Akiva, that means the reisha is Rabbi Akiva, and then we can't explain it like we did before. Reisha lav de mutei achalti v'lo achalti. So then, what are you going to do with the Reisha? So we thought before it came to exclude achalti v'lo achalti, and we said, well, it exclude them from the din of Korban. But that can't be true, because we're saying now Rabbi Akiva is the author of this Mishnah. If Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah, then achalti v'lo achalti do bring a Korban. Elamute ochel v'lo achal. The miut over here is telling him about a case where he says, I will eat, and he doesn't eat. Umayishnah. So what's the difference between them? Now Rashi asks, what's the difference between achalti v'lo achalti, which involves inaction in the past tense, and you did bring a korban on that, versus ochel, where you say in the future tense, I will eat, and then through inaction you violate that shvua. Why over there do you not bring a korban? So mishum de koi v'lo haba, ma'it haba. Koi v'lo haba, ma'it l'shavar. If you're talking about something in the future, you want to say that it can be ma'it something from the future. So the case there in the Mishnah is Zohi Shvuat Sheker. What's Zohi Shvuat or Shvuat Bitui? What's Zohi Shvuat Bitui Shvuat Sheker? That's a case where he says, Lo Ochel, I will not eat, and then he eats. So we're talking about a future tense Shvuat. So we're talking about a future tense Shvuat. That's coming to exclude another future tense Shvuat. The other future tense Shvuat is a case where he says, Ochel, I will eat, and he doesn't eat. On the other hand, if you want to come in Ma'it Achalti V'lo Achalti, you're taking something that's in the future and saying Zohi, that's the Shvua, and then applying it to Sa'avar. It doesn't make sense. It makes more sense. It's Mamai, it's something that's close to it, not something that's much further away or much different from what it is. That's why Rashi reads this last piece of Mishnah. Tosafot brings down the read that says that the Mishnah over here is, why'd you set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva? You had a problem. You said Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, Seifa is Rabbi Akiva. So Rashi says, yeah, can't be. Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, Reisha is Rabbi Akiva. Why don't you do it the other way around? Say Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, and Seifa is Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says we don't want that because mishum dekoy b'lahaba. The first part of the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah, is talking about a case of lahaba in the future. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're coming to exclude achalti v'lo achalti, which is the avar. That doesn't make sense. It makes more sense that it's excluding a case of the future as well, a case of ochel v'lo achal, and that only work according to Rabbi Kiva, not according to Rabbi Shmuel. And that's why we set up this Mishnah to be authored by Rabbi Kiva, not by Rabbi Shmuel. Umeymar. Meymar is another one of those exceptions to the rule. Even though there's no maaseh, you still have malkot. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tana. Lo titnei umumar, mishom medibro asa maase. So Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tana, who was saying over this braita, lo titnei umeymar, don't include it in the list of exceptions, because tmura is really a maase. Because through your speech, you create a maase. Your speech is a maase. Now this is very difficult, because they just said before by shvua that it's not classified as a maase. So why does Rabbi Yochanan over here all of a sudden say that dibor is a maase, versus by shvua where dibor was not classified as a maase? There's a very important Rashi over here. It says, and the Sefer Achinuch also quotes this when it speaks about Murah, there's actually impact by your Dibor over here. There is a Cholot Shem Dusha through your Dibor. You change the status of the animal. You change an animal from being Chulin to being Kodesh. And because of that, that's considered the Maiseh, because there's an outcome, there's a result to your Dibor. Shosemi Chulin Kodeshim, and Rashi again is going to say this later, that there's a change in status, and that Dibor is why it's classified as a Maiseh. I'll tell you that it's still difficult. Because we have by Shvuot Nedarim of Kodesh, you can make something Kodesh through a Neder, through a Shvuah. And when you make something Kodesh, that's also a change in the nature or the status of the animal. Your Makdish, an animal that's considered to be a Neder of Ekdesh. And there you change the status of the animal over there. We're not saying that that's qualified or classified as being a Maisa. That's number one. And number two is you do change the status of the object. Over here, when you make a Shvuah about a piece of bread, you say, I will not eat this piece of bread. You're also taking action against the chafetz. Now, you could argue that a shvuah is about the individual and not about the chafetz. But then again, if you move over to neder and you take a neder, then over there also you should have a problem. You take a neder about the chafetz and you violate the neder, then over there you should also be classified as having a maaseh, because there you're changing the status of the object. Now, you could argue that over there, the case of a neder and a shvuah, where you change the status of object, Tosfos will say later on, it's mashabod libo, creating an iser from your heart. That's not something that the Torah addresses at all. When it comes to Tmurah, your action is effective and efficacious through the Torah rule. Meaning that it's Vayahu, Tmurato, Yeh Kodesh. The Torah says that your action's effective. So maybe over there, that's considered a Maisa. Where you have a Maisa that the Torah accepts and puts into action, even though it's wrong. But when they put it into action, that's considered an action. Not by a Neder and Shua, where you're making up things and they become Asur because of your Dibor. But not that the Torah itself makes that object Asur, but it's because of what you did that it makes it Asur. Alright, the next example in the Mishnah was Makalel Chavero B'Shem, someone who curses his friend B'Shem Hashem. You know it. How do we know there? Also, that there's a din of Malkot. Am Rabba Lazar, Rabba Hoshem, Akra, Im Lo Tishmor. So over there in the Pasuk it says, if you do not keep the word of Hashem, this is in the Tochacha and Dvarim, it says, V'yifla Hashem et Makotcha, that Hashem will make your Makot so unbelievable, Pella, a wonderment, Now over here, the Gemara is going to say that v'hifla comes from the word lahafli. Lahafli is something that you take, a shvua, a neder. That's why we have the word lahafli by neder nizirut. Kifli, neder. The people, the Torah uses that terminology when it's talking about making a neder, making a shvua, or about speech. So therefore it says v'hifla shemet makot chafla zu en yodea mahu. I don't know what it is. Shomer bi pilu hashofet v'ikao lefanav. So before in the Torah it talks about makot, it says over there, v'pilu ha-shofet v'yikau lefanav. It says that the shofet will bend him over and give him malkot. Hamir afla zu malkot. This afla is malkot. It's getting malkot. Fli ha-shem et makotcha. That afla, I don't know what it is. I don't know how the afla relates to makot. That I know from the pasuk, which talks about a beitin that gives makot. It says, v'pilu ha-shofet v'yikau lefanav. So there's a hapala and makot in that pasuk as well. So we say it has to do with makot. So through speech, through hafla'a, a person's going to end up with makot. So avimar aflu is a makot. Emar afilu shvuat emet. Maybe if you tell the truth. Maybe if you take a shvuat emet, you should get makot. Where it says, behejaktiv, the pasuk says, shvuat Hashem tia ben shneihem. Pasuk in parshat mishpatim in today's parsha says that the way that we will adjudicate the case is that there will be a shvua from the shomer to the ba'alim in order to exonerate himself. So Emer hani milu defayeset chavero. Torah says that you take a shvua in order to placate your friend so he doesn't think that you took it or you stole it. Aval milka loki, you'll still get malkot. Even though the Torah says that you have to do it in order to placate him, you'll get malkot for taking it. It says, lo matzid amart v'aktiv, ubishmo tishaveya. Pasuk says in Pashat et Chanan that ubishmo tishaveya, that you have to take a shvua in his name. So Mar says, damar av gido amarav, minayin shishbayin lekayim et mitzvot. How do I know that you're allowed to take a shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah? And it's not called nishba mashakotu b'torah. Shneimar nishbati v'akayimo lishmor mishpatei tzidkecho. That David HaMelech says that I took shvuot in order to keep those things that you already had demanded of me. K'saktiv k'rach rina uvot idbak ubishmo tishaveya. Later on, in Devarim, again, it uses the Mishmo Tishaveya. There's two tzivuyim of Mishmo Tishaveya. Of course, it's not talking about a Shvuat Emet over here, the Afla'ah that we're speaking about, because here we have Mishmo Tishaveya, that there is a demand that you do take a Shvuah B'Shem Hashem. I should know, we discussed this in Masechet Shvuot, that in general, towards the time of the Amoraim, and certainly in the Gonim's time and afterwards, the Pachad and Yira and Mirtut from taking a Shvuah was so overwhelming that there was no positive associated with taking a Shvuah. Taking a shvua was all negative. And you see some of that reflection here in the way the Amoraim are discussing the possibility that you get makot even though you took a shvua at emet. Nevertheless, ubishmo tishaveya, the way the Rambam defines it, and the way that it means in the Torah, it means that the person should take shvua. Person should take a shvua b'shem Hashem. That's a kiddush Hashem. That's something positive. A person acts properly. A person does what's right. And he should take a shvua b'shem Hashem because he's upholding the name of Hashem. And he's enacting a matter that's a kiddush Hashem. And that's a positive commandment, not just it's okay where you have to, but rather it's a positive man. But you can see already the feeling on time of the Amoraim already that where they're viewing a shvuah as something extremely negative. And that is because a shvuah is only valuable as an object of Kiddush Hashem when people have tremendous yira from it. When they have tremendous fear of using a shvuah sheker. If they have yira from shvuah sheker, then when a person takes a shvuah, that's the emet. It's the truth. Because nobody would take such a shvuah unless it really was the truth. And that's what the Kiddush Hashem is created through. But already when you get to a point where that sort of yira or reticence to take a shvuah when it's sheker, when that diminishes and that goes away, then the shvuah becomes a very, very dangerous tool. Because then people, first of all, will use it when they're not telling the truth. So not only will it be a shvuah sheker and a chilul Hashem, but also it no longer becomes a vehicle or a tool that we can use in order to adjudicate in cases. Because the shvuah no longer carries with it that weight. And so therefore, you see in the time of the Gonim already, they try to simulate or create some sort of pachad and yira through other methodologies besides shvuah in order to be ma'ayim on the person that when they take such a statement of neder or cherem that they understand the implications of it and that they won't lie when it comes to these cases. So then, elamayato. So then what is this hafla over here? It's lemekalel et chavero b'shem. Someone who curses his friend b'shem. So now where do you get the lav? Where's the azhara from? So Tosavot over here says, im lo tishmor lasol is the lav or the azhara, bifla, Hashem matkotcha, and the azhara is from the place here. Or, the other possibility is the azhara is from lo tekalel cheresh. Lo tekalel cheresh means you may not make any klala no matter what, and therefore it includes this type of klala, so that the azhara will be from there. Motzi shem shemayim levatala. Who says it has to be about a klala, that it's about a cursing his friend? Maybe it's just being motzi shem Hashem levatala. Mi gara mikalel et chaveru b'shem bimotzi shem shemayim levatala. He says, wait a minute, what's the difference? Even if you say it shem shemayim levatala, that would also include a klala to a friend with a shem Hashem. That's also shem shemayim levatala. It's just a subset of that category. So he says, na na acha kakashilan. Ima motzi shem shemayim levatalad, tis gilei b'malkot. That should be enough with malkot. Aval mekalel chaveru b'shem came into kovid tarte. He's doing two negatives. Not only is he saying shem shemayim levatalad, he's also being mekalel to come up shem shemayim levatalad, v'kimatzeer lechaverei. He's also causing pain and suffering to his friend. Lo tis gilei b'malkot won't be enough. Malkot will only be sufficient for Shem Shemayim Levatalah, not for Mikalel. That pasuk will be talking about Shem Shemayim Levatalah. When it says, Lo Matzid Omart, Dichtiv, because we have the pasuk that's found in Parshat Kedoshim, Lo Tikalel Chayresh, that you may not curse a Chayresh. The Mashma Ben Klala Stam, that means whether it's a regular Klala, or Ben Klala Bashem. So we do have an Azhara for this, and we see already that there's a lav associated with making a Klala with the Shem Hashem. V'yamar Bishlamala Kalelet Chaviru Azartari Mehacha, Dichtiv Lo Tikalel Chayresh. Then, if you say that the pasuk here is speaking about a case where he cursed his friend b'shem Hashem, then I have azara for lo tikalel charesh. Eli amart moshi shem shemayim lebatala is the lav over here. Then where is the azara? Azara ta meicha, where are you going to have it? Alam alo, why don't you have an azara of aktiv at the shem lokecha tira v'oto tavod v'shmoti shaveya? So over there it says the shem lokecha tira, you must fear God. So you have to fear God. That tells you, that's a warning not to misuse or misappropriate the Shem Hashem. How azara taseu? That's not a real azara. That's an azara that's a lava bal michlal asei. It says Hashem tira, and therefore you should not do something that otherwise would upend or undermine that tira. So that's a lava bal michlal asei. That's an asei. We're looking for an azara. We're looking for a warning. We need a lav in order to have something where you have a punishment associated with it, and we don't have that by Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala. We do have that by Mikalel Chaveru B'Shem, either from Lo Tikalel Chayresh, which is mentioned in our Gemara, or the other possibility is that it comes from the Pasuk itself that we quoted originally, which is Im Lo Tishmor La'asot. Rashi brings down an alternative explanation over here about what it means Lo Tikalel Chayresh. He says that he quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak Barabbi Menachem. He says, I didn't hear this from my Rebbe, but I heard it from Rabbi Yitzchak Barabbi Menachem. That the Gzeira Shava is this. Lav dichtiv gabi umlalim. It says, lo tikalel cheresh. Eshu garua shibikulan, which is the lowest of the social chain. Vikavitiv gabi nasi. By the nasi also says, v'nasi ba'amcha lo te'aor. V'chi eichi da'atam lekele malkot. Great ata. Just like over there, there's only malkot. Whether it's nasi ba'amcha te'aor or lo tikalel cheresh, there's only malkot. Achinami b'umlalim sagalei ba'malkot. It's also enough by the umlal, by the cheresh, that it only gets malkot. So just like by nasi ba'amcha, you get malkot, so too. By lo tikalel cheresh, you get malkot. And we set up the pasuk in Sanhedrin that lo tikalel cheresh is a case where he did it b'shem Hashem, because we learn out mimikalel aviv v'imo. There it says benokay b'shem Hashem. So there we said by mikalel aviv v'imo it's a case where he used the shem Hashem. So too by mikalel cheresh is where he used the shem Hashem, and we see over there it's enough with malkot. Just like by nasiba amchalo to'or it was enough by malkot. So too by lo tikalel cheresh it's enough by malkot. And lo tikalel cheresh we set up in Sanhedrin is a case where there was a Shem Hashem involved, because we learned that out of Mikalel Aviv Imo. So you see again, even in the face of Mikalel Hashem, Makot is sufficient, and therefore your question about Makot should not be sufficient is not right. We see that from Lo Tikalel Chareish, that already Makot is sufficient even when you curse B'Shem Hashem. And then the Gemara will continue the same way, asking from the fact that there is an Azhara by Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, and the Gemara answers that it's an Asay and not a Lo Tasei. Okay, we'll stop over here.